Hello and welcome. This is episode 13 of Aspiration Athletics Podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Evan Burnison. And today I wanted to talk about personal training and personal trainers within the fitness industry. Because I feel like this topic is widely underknown. And quite frankly, amongst general populations, I would say quite undervalued, especially as a fitness professional myself. Maybe I'm partisan, but I think I can definitely shed some insight on how maybe if you're a aspiring fitness professional or personal trainer, this will shed some insight on, you know, what to expect within the process, as well as for those of you that have hired personal trainers, kind of getting inside and getting the background of what it takes and maybe why your personal trainers decide to do the things that they do. So maybe you've just finished high school and college isn't the route for you, so you decide to see what the fitness industry is about. Or maybe you've finished high school and you're looking to improve on your sciences and you decide to go into a kinesiology or sports performance or even a athletic training major in an undergraduate degree, and you find yourself in the fitness industry. Now, I think it's important to highlight here that there's a couple of different routes, like I just explained, that you can go. There's a lot of trainers that come out of high school and they go right into the industry and they decide that they're going to get certified through a governing body, which I'll get to that momentarily. But we have trainers who come out of high school and they decide to go right into trying to get certified and working with populations right away. And we also have individuals who decide to go into higher education with the hope of getting more insight on the sciences and more of an in-depth understanding of how things work on a micro level versus a macro level. So that was the route I chose. And I'm going to compare and contrast here the different options along with what I've done and allow you to make the decisions on your own. But, you know, I'll kind of shed some light on both instances. I myself decided to attend Eastern Michigan University soon after I graduated high school. And I jumped right into the Sports Performance and Fitness Entrepreneurship Program at Eastern Michigan. Some people that I know have, especially coworkers of mine, have left high school and or graduated rather and then jumped into the industry and got certified at 17, 18 years old and began working with people from there. And I won't say that one is better than the other. I will say that there's advantages and disadvantages to both, and I'll get into that now. If you decide to go the route that I went and you decide to elect for higher education, you're going to be subjected to a bunch of different classes tailored towards anatomy, physiology, kinesiology, essentially establishing that foundation of knowledge that you can apply into a certification. So everything that we went through in the sciences within my program were to go at a deeper level and to understand what's happening within our systems of outside of just this is the implications of exercise or this is what you're going to benefit from if you do a squat. These sciences, these classes were tailored towards understanding what's going on at a chemical and hormonal level within our energy systems and within our body and how the musculoskeletal system in conjunction with all of our other metabolic systems work together. So this really gave me some insight early on deep into the inner workings and ultimately the phenomena that is development and adaptations from physical activity. So this allowed me to understand the sciences involved at a micro level before I could even understand the generalizations at a macro level. So to me, that was really beneficial, and I'll get into later kind of why I thought that was so. But then there's also the flip side of things to where you decide to go for a certification right after high school, right? You graduate and you're jumping into all of a sudden, getting your study materials for your cert, and then choosing that governing body you're going to get certified by, and finally getting certified. Once that happens, you're working more on a practical basis, so it's learning through experience rather than learning through paper. And there's pros and cons to that. The pro being you're all ultimately getting that experience, much quicker than someone who elects for higher ed like I did. The con to that is you have to do a lot of trial and error at the beginning. And that the same can even be said for those that elect for higher education. And again, I'll shed some light on some of my experiences here shortly. But that is one thing that is advantageous about getting started early on, is that you have that obviously more time in the field, so you're getting that practical experience, built in your resume, and that's fantastic. However, you're working out a lot of those kinks and really trying to find the identity of what type of trainer you're going to become, at least for that present moment, to serve your clientele. Now, those are the two different options that I see with the increase in technology becoming prevalent in our society. Now, there's now hybrid options that are coming out in universities for certain personal trainers. I'm not sure how much validity and credibility each of those kind of routes hold, but I'm going to stick to the ones that I know, being of which you can practically start right out of high school, or you can elect to go to college and kind of learn about the sciences deeper. So now I'm going to jump into and kind of progressing towards the next step. I mentioned this aspect of a certification. So as a personal trainer, you are, whether or not you're electing to go into higher education, or you're simply looking to get into the industry right out of high school, you have to be certified. You have to have a certification that essentially says that you are knowledgeable in all of these foundational pieces of information that allow you to hone in on your scope of practice for this particular field and industry. So that being said, there's a ton of different certifications. And I remember especially, I was at the time 18, almost 19, and I was asking all around. I was working at Liberty Athletic Club in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I was working very closely with the personal trainers on the staff, being of which I was one of the Fit Floor ambassadors, which essentially just means you don't let anyone die in the gym around you. Just make sure everything's running properly. But I had a lot of face time with the trainers there, so I got to get to know a lot of the staff. And I was always, always, always asking, what certifications each of them held. And each trainer had a different reason for why they had certain certifications. And I thought that that was interesting. And ultimately, what I'm going to shed some light on here to you today is some of the kind of differing pieces within the certifications, as well as, what may or may not be practical or best for you, depending on the route you're going. So I myself elected for the American Council on Exercise, ACE. It was referred to me and by a employer at the time, my boss, RJ Masecki, at the Liberty Athletic Club. I'm sorry, I had a brain fart. At Liberty Athletic Club, that was the person that had referred that cert to me. And, he was simply telling me at the time that it's really good for practical-based knowledge. It's something that you'll be able, it's a foundational certification that allows you to kind of get going right off the bat. It gives you everything you need to get started, and really focuses on the practical application of personal training. And I myself, throughout the years, have found that to be true. And the insights that I've gathered from other personal training certifications, upon the research I've done, as well as just insight from individuals who have taken the other certs, You have NASM, NASM, and I think that that's a really great organization. I think they focus a lot on the sciences, so you're not getting as much applicable practical information, but you're going really further in depth into the sciences portion, which if you're someone who isn't looking to take college courses and you're really looking to put your accolades within your certification, in acquiring those, I think that that's a great option for you. It allows you to get these deeper insights within the sciences without having to take a college class or being an undergraduate program. So I think that that's really awesome that NASM provides that. The next one is NSCA. That one I would say is definitely focused on the sciences as well, but to me, like the biggest differentiator I found in that one is it's really foundational in kind of these functional training aspects, or even like you hear me mention like preparatory or general preparatory phases. Like to me, I see that as like being your strength coach's kind of guide to certification in terms of being able to understand the functional training aspect and how that is in a company with the changes at a hormone and metabolic level. So I look at NASM and I see that one is very deeply ingrained in the sciences as well. Not so much practical, and there's a plethora of other certifications just off the top of my head, NASM and ACE and NASM, yeah, and NSCA, sorry. So these all get really hard to to juggle in your head, as you can imagine. But those are three off the top of my head. They have ISSA, they have all these other abbreviated certifications, and you have to be careful because there are certifications that aren't quite credible out there, and there's going to be certifications that promise a cert within a week if you take a test or whatever, and it's those are just very well, for one, they're not credible, they won't be accepted anywhere, but it's a waste of time, folks. You're basically gonna be spending $10, $20 on nothing. So I would advise definitely looking into some of these larger governing bodies because those are gonna be the ones that employers hold a lot of value in. And also, you want to have a good insight on what you're going to be expecting when you work within this industry. And I think that to me, ACE sets that up the best. If you get too far ingrained in the sciences early on, you start missing the point of why people began to train to begin with. And a lot of time, as a personal trainer, it's not always about the workout. Sometimes it's about the individual, and I'll get into that later on. But you chose your cert. You decided to go with, either NASM or NSCA or ACE or, maybe a few of the other certifications. You can certainly look that up on Google. You guys are, they should give you about every major governing body. Excuse me. Sounds like I need water. So now that you've chosen your cert and you're now certified, congrats. That's great. But now, what do you do? You just got certified, spent your last 3 to 6 months studying your ass off, take your tests, pass it with flying colors. Now you think you're ready to take on the world. Well, I can surely tell you that it's really a surreal moment when you're able to complete something like this. Just from what I remember getting certified a few years back, it was a lot, especially the time in my life. It wasn't like I wasn't doing anything. I was a full-time student. I was holding two jobs at the time. I was really trying to find my way out of the position I was in. just being that I didn't have purpose and I knew that I had strengths that weren't being exercised. So, I get into some of those stories in my earlier podcasts, so you guys can probably understand where I'm coming from there if you've listened. But for the most part, the conditions and parameters in my life were different than where some people start. So for me, it was very, very big accomplishment to get this certification. To me, it was an indication of a change in the course of my life, and that's how I've looked at it ever since. That being said, I had to make a decision from that point on once I got certified, and make a decision very quickly, whether or not I was going to be going into self-employment in the form of business ownership, or looking for a gym to be employed out of. So at 19 years old, naturally being a student, I did not elect for business ownership, and I did not elect to be a sole proprietor. So I decided to continue to go to school full time, and rather than taking that self-employed route, I decided to look into training positions at my university recreational center, that we serve general populations as well as student populations there. But before I get into that story and kind of what happened from there, I want to talk about the flip side. So you get certified and you pass your test, and you have that choice to either work for a company or to go private and contractor services out. So if you decide to elect for that route and start taking business and entrepreneurship into your own hands, I would certainly suggest, and I hope that those of you that have or plan to go that route, spend the brunt of your time learning on not how to train, but how to market, because that is basically going to be the biggest piece of your success. Is if you can't sell and if you can't market, you're certainly not going to be able to have a steady income and security within such a volatile industry. So I would definitely say that going private or self-employed right off the bat after getting your certification is not a smart route. It's certainly a risky one, not one that I elected for at 19, thankfully. But as a private individual, you're also in charge of, and I didn't want to get into too much of the business aspects of things because I wanted this to be solely about the personal training experience, but I think that I would be doing it injustice by not mentioning that, you're responsible for all of your insurances, you're responsible for all of your equipment, you're responsible for all of the overhead. This is your business, and if you decide to go private, everything's on you. You now have to look for gym space to train out of. You now have to look for equipment to utilize. You now have to get insurance to serve your clientele, all of which would be provided by an employer. So this is what you're risking when you decide to, go private. And that's great if you want that kind of liberty and freedom to work about or amongst yourself. But make sure you have a plan set in place in which you can thrive off of that, rather than find yourself months later with no income after getting certified and then switching professions. I don't want anything to happen like that to anyone out there. There's too many opportunities within the social media platforms for people to be successful, especially in an online basis. So make sure you do your research there. But like I said, I made my journey to the recreational center at Eastern Michigan University. That was where I would talk with Christy Teasdale, the fitness director there. And ultimately, we sat down and had an interview, and being of which I was a student at Eastern and a full-time one at that, this was certainly a mutual understanding in which, me being part of that sports performance program at Eastern, they were going to allow opportunities for up and starting personal trainers that are taking classes to get started, and kind of find their grounding at the rec center. So I ended up getting the position, and I started out making $20 per client hour. And for those of you that do personal training, no, that's not shit. And in the grand scheme of things, it's not, it's not very good at all, especially when I tell you about the client load you receive as a personal trainer. So hang on for that. But you're making $20 an hour, and that sounds like a boatload of cash when you're a broke college student. So this is something that was that really got me excited about entering the industry, and I got super hopeful on, and ultimately I thought I was going to be making the big dollars. So I was really under the impression that I was making like tons of money now, and so I began by taking on a few of the clients in which at the time one of the trainers there was leaving, so I was able to take on I think one or two of her clients that she referred to me as I was beginning. So at this point in time, I started off with one or two clients, and I started working with them immediately. And they were at twice a week, so I had like $80 paychecks to start with, and it was biweekly pay. So by the end of my first month, I think I made like $200. And that's pretty discouraging when you first get started in any industry. And this is where I really started to understand where you have to be a very versatile individual when it comes to training, being of which you can't just be good at athletics or be a pretty face or have a solid body or have the knowledge. You have to put everything together. So it's like firing on all cylinders, being the most self-aware individual. And before I learned how to do any of that or acquire any of those skills, when I first started, I was simply kind of, well, first of all, I was writing workouts on Google Docs. I would just date out the page and structure their workouts each day for the week. And that seemed to work for the small client load I had, but as I started working up to like six or eight clients that were doing one at least once to up to 3 to 4 times a week, I was at that point making $400 to $500 plus a pay period, at my peak at Eastern. And that sounds like a lot, but it's not anything. It's really not anything, guys, not with bills. But at the time, I didn't. So I was able to pocket everything and pay for tuition. So again, I started with Google Docs and I was writing everything out on there. Well, it became problematic to the point where, like, I couldn't keep track of everyone's workouts because they were on the same page. And then I would separate the docs and then I have a million docs open. So I needed to find a place that allowed me to consolidate and kind of, con or not congregate, delegate certain programs and pieces for people's files. So I decided to do more of a system in which I had an iPad at the time where I was tracking workouts through a program I was using, and in conjunction with doing paper folder files. So that's where I started as a trainer, and started off not making much at all. It was very much so trial and error. Like, I'm so glad that I had that grace period as a trainer at Eastern Michigan to be able to find my footing, because if I tried to bring that same attitude as well as customer service and even skill and specialty into the populations I serve now, someone could either get very seriously hurt or even just gross negligence on either of our parts. So, I'm really glad that I had this period to train with younger individuals and students, and that wasn't the only, demographic I served at Eastern. I really got a chance to serve geriatric clientele as well too. But throughout the course there, I learned a lot. It allowed me to make the mistakes necessary, it allowed me to really find out, what works on paper and what doesn't in terms of, well, for one especially, they like to look at things linearly within a book. I'm sure you can imagine. There's systems to everything, right? And each system has a projected outcome. And with a book, you're going to see that projected outcome and you're going to see the progressions leading towards. You can try to match that as best as possible in a practical setting, but it doesn't guarantee, correlation or linear or direct correlation. So, to me, it was about trying to do the best possible job that I could while sticking within the principles I've learned, while also allowing this individual to enjoy their time. I started grasping that concept more and more as I continued to serve populations as well, and that helped me become a better trainer. And I'll get into kind of where you need to settle as a trainer depending on what demographics you serve, because that's important. So far what I've talked to you guys about is kind of, getting into the industry, choosing a certification, deciding to go private or looking for a big box or employment from another individual. Now I want to talk about kind of what happens once you finally settle into a position or you're training at a facility and you have a manager or director now. This is where you start to settle in and people can get comfortable in this position. And I think it needs to be said to add this component in which we should all be continuing to create and maintain connections. So that's where things get very difficult, is because people assume that once they have a decent client load, they're just gonna, client retention the whole way through. And that's not really the best way to approach training, because you're not necessarily, well, for one, I believe if you're keeping a client on for many years at a time, you're not doing your job and goal acquisition. So I think that there needs to be somewhat of a revolving door in which you're optimally maximizing the amount of time you can work with that client, and monetize that, as well as being able to aid them in helping them achieve results and achieve their goals ultimately. But this idea of creating connections, this is really the hard part, because this is where the sales things and sales side of things kicks in. So within the company I work in now, aside from the one that I've recently began a startup in, the company I work with full time, we have this period in which we're told to or encouraged to work out or train in public at the facilities we operate out of. And that's with the hope of being able to establish or create a connection with other prospective clientele or individuals, that may or may not have the comfortable outlook on a trainer. If they don't, you come up and approach them and start to build rapport. And if they do, you just very gently inquire about, if they're looking to increase their training proficiency. So this is hard for people because they feel, well, for one, I can tell you if it's hard for you to sell as a personal trainer, it's because you don't value your services enough and you don't think that what you're offering is really valuable. When I first started, I didn't realize, well, for one, I didn't have the skill set I do now or the knowledge, but when I first started, it was very hard to ask people and create connections because you have to ask for money at the end of the day. That's a difficult, kind of barrier to get through, especially for a young professional like myself. The older you get, the more people understand that this is a profession and a job, and like anything else, we all got to eat. But ultimately, you have to kind of prove your worth, and this is where This is where you can start to gain leverage as a trainer. There's just so many variables to talk about, folks. And I'm sorry if I'm providing kind of this one-dimensional view for some of the trainers out there, professionals that may be listening, that this doesn't exactly parallel their experience. There's just so many, and I know many of you guys know, there's so many different looks and dynamics to personal training. I can't wait to shed some light to those that are inquiring about trainers and maybe potential or prospective clients that are listening in now on the show. Really going to allow you guys to see how hard we work here and how volatile this industry is, and maybe you can gain some respect towards the trainers that serve you. But ultimately, when you're starting off and you're really young, I did the legwork. I busted my ass to get these certifications, and I don't just have one anymore, I have several. But in essence, I worked really hard to get the certs, and the selling portion was hard for me. I knew how to train individuals, but until I could confidently speak and be until I could confidently believe in what I was giving and providing to people, I didn't feel comfortable on selling it. So this becomes hard because you have to start to value and put a value on your training methods. So this is usually the hardest part for individuals because they don't value their own training, or they have a negative outlook on their own training structure and periodization, which at an early age, as you can imagine, if you're serving adult clientele within the realm of 30 to 70 to 80 years old, people are going to question your proficiency as a professional right off the bat. So you got to really try to hit the mark every time, and that was a lot of pressure getting started. But I didn't put simply, I didn't believe, and I didn't fully I wasn't fully confident in what I was giving to people. So within that time, I realized what I needed to do was to continue to put more hours in, continue to study my ass off, look into different modalities of training. So outside of personal training, I started getting involved in personally bodybuilding, physique competitions. Soon after that, I got into CrossFit and Olympic weightlifting. So I got certified in sports performance training. And additionally, I'm undergoing a sports performance specialist program through ACE. So I have these different modalities of training that allowed me to be a more versatile trainer and a versatile coach, to be able to shed light on not just performance aspects of fitness endeavors, but also transformation in terms of body composition. So this whole idea of selling yourself, you have to have skills, right? Like, you have to recognize that what you're doing is a skill. You have to recognize that what you're doing is valuable. You don't, there's no plumber out there that's going to charge $10 to fix your pipes. Like, that's just not going to happen. That's a specialty skill. That's a specialty, set of, knowledge where not a lot of people have it, and it's in demand, so you're going to pay for it. And that's what personal training is. And you can tell I kind of have this or not animosity, but kind of this stale attitude when it comes to it, because a lot of people undervalue their trainers nowadays, especially in the demographic I serve. Working with populations that are a bit older currently, they really don't understand body awareness, and they don't have the competency in movement, which, as someone who's passionate about what I do, that's hard to for one, it's exhausting to work with an individual who wants to challenge and combat your training and your training programming that's tailor-made to them. So that can be a very hard thing to meander around as a trainer. I'm getting off on a tangent, more or less on personal issues, but I'll kind of shed some light on how trainers really feel at the end of the day, you guys. But yeah, that hard part being that you have to start connecting with individuals and generating sales and building rapport with people. That's kind of what I was getting at. So going off of that, I always believe that education doesn't stop at school. Education is lifelong. So you've got your certification. Maybe you graduated school. Maybe you graduated college. Whatever the case may be. I myself recently, took a step away from college. I was in my senior year, and what they were providing me in the realm of sports performance, I didn't really find very beneficial into the industry. Especially at the cost I was paying. So I took a step back, and now I'm looking more towards professional resources coming from interpersonal connections and actually in-person meetings. So I'm a firm believer in communicating, and I'm a firm believer in success being predicated on communication with other professionals and other individuals who share the same vision. And I don't think that people within the university understand my passion and have the same vision and vision quest as I do. So therefore it was a compromised environment for me, and it didn't allow me to grow. However, now that I've been able to start this media production company and start this podcast to serve all of you, I have been able to connect with so many different individuals within the industry, ranging from researchers, ranging from gym owners, business owners, ranging from specialists and coaches, and just this whole realm and world of professionals in this industry. And it's so great to be able to inquire about getting some ear time with these individuals on my own without having to get clearance from university. So I'm gonna end my tangent there. But going off of this aspect of education, I said it doesn't stop at school. It's lifelong, and I meant that. And it goes outside the realm of certifications. I talked about in the nutrition episode, these different resources you can look to for information regarding nutrition, and the same can be said for any information regarding training out there as well. There's going to be a plethora of information out there that is opinionated and is based off of what worked for one individual and may not work for the slew of our Gen Pop and the majority. So it's important to recognize that there's going to be some resources out there that don't exactly consider the constraints or maybe the considerations that you need as an individual going into your fitness journey. So, once you create these connections, I usually find that the best connections are made through simply talking to individuals. I've gotten so much insight from being able to just like, hey, I was checking out your profile or your page on this Instagram or Facebook, and like, I just want to get some insight on what it's like to be in your position, and maybe you'd want to do this podcast episode with me so we can talk about it. Like, that to me is learning at its finest. Like, you're asking, it's like it goes back to barter and trade in the old Western days. Like, you find someone with a skill or an ability, and you trade them either your time or money or some skill or ability that you have, and you just go about your day being able to trade and use each other's skills. So like, that to me is what I've learned from the best. And there's also other facets in which you can go to conferences. I know the IDEA has a conference every year. I believe in Houston. I don't know if they change the location of it yearly. So sorry about that if you guys are misled, so don't hold me to that. But yeah, there's conferences. There's I've been to like the NASM keynote speaking conferences and clinics, and those are really cool. You get a lot of insight from different professionals in the industry that talk about research studies or maybe some of the trends that they're noticing within the industry. And all of this just allows you to kind of think tank and this conglomerate of professionals, you're all able to network from there if you put yourself out there. So, I've kind of given you some insight just at a macro level, in terms of, what personal trainers go through to get into their position.
So let's now talk about the types of populations that you can be potentially serving upon completing your training certification and getting involved as a trainer. So like I said, I was exposed with different types of clientele to start off with, more in the realm of student base, college age individuals between 18 to 26 years old, and then in some cases dealing with some geriatric clientele who had memberships to the facility. So within this experience, at the time that I was training at the rec center, that was the population I was serving, and things within the training realm of how I approached my training for my clients was pretty simple and straightforward. These are people that are coming from either very little or no solid foundation in exercise and physical activity. So, at that point, we create an established base of what their fitness level is, and then work to improve it from there by implementing cardiovascular and aerobic activity as well as strength and resistance training. Now, that's pretty straightforward when it comes to that clientele, but what if you start working with special populations? So maybe you've decided that it's time to move away from some of the general populations and start training with some of these special populations because they intrigue you more. What does that entail? Now it starts to become a question of, do you have the credentials to support and the knowledge to support the training efforts that are required to bring about these adaptations to these specific populations? So now this is where the education side of things really kicks in, and what I was saying before being of which, you really can't stop educating yourself, because now you're going to be training individuals with a different set of deficiencies, or maybe a different set of predetermined or different foundational skills. So, like I said, I trained to start off with some more general populations. And more, I guess, the best populations that you could start off with to be able to make these kind of beginner mistakes, being of which training these younger demographics at first, and then you start specializing in working with special populations. Like myself, I moved into that about a year after I got my feet wet with training and got a chance to just make mistakes and not intentionally, obviously, but work through some of the different training modes that I was considering, or training modes that I had previously done in the past. As a trainer, the first it's like doing reps of anything, right? The more clients you have, the more people you're able to serve, the more you're able to kind of rep out and find what works most consistently with individuals and what can be generally administered or prescribed in an exercise program, depending on the circumstances of the individual. So, or the predisposition of the individual. So, before I could make any of those generalizations, like I said, I worked with that population to start with, the student age and the some of these older demographics, but highly functional, right? And then I started getting into rehabilitation type of training, personal training, and that took on a totally different side of personal training, being of which now I had to really consider the sales side of things, as well as hone in on my ability to communicate effectively. Now, as a trainer, you have to start realizing this is where you must be educating yourself on, for one, the different deficiencies that these individuals have that you're going to be working with that's different from the population you served before. So, in my case, where I had to switch from general population to now serving demographics in which are coming off of surgeries or coming off of traumatic brain injury, some of these more extreme cases, you know, now I had to take on a different approach of how I was going to train these individuals. And now it became a system of, you know, taking a step back from functional as well as compound lifting to now introducing component approach in terms of isolating movements rather than addressing them in a functional way of having fewer movements and more volume. So that was a different training mode to get used to, and with that comes different adaptations to the body. And I don't want to make this into a physiology episode or sport physiology, but for the most part, you know, these different modes of training bring about different responses to the body. And, you know, the approach that I had to take with the clientele I was serving at my position at the rec center I was operating out of, I had to shift and be able to, for one, gain more insight in how I serve these individuals with more extreme cases, because they take a bit more, it requires rather a bit more care, as well as a stronger relationship, and especially working with geriatric clientele, developing more rapport. So these people really, you know, they aren't going to trust you with some of their medical mishaps or deficiencies in their body at this age if you aren't credentialed and aren't confident in your prescription and competency of exercise. So this was a challenge for me as a young man entering my my current position right now, where I'm working in, where I serve geriatric as well as, you know, the more of these special cases, where it's traumatic brain injury or it's, you know, in some cases I'm working with autistic individuals, and it's really around the spectrum, more rehab based, and, getting people, living a better quality of life rather than getting them to optimize their functionality, within their body. So, you know, it now shifts this, and this is where recognizing your clientele too, and like really targeting your audience becomes important, because it shifts how you approach goal acquisition for these clients. So for any individuals who's a current client of a personal trainer, whether you're younger or older, you know, there's certain needs that you need from your personal trainer, and there's certain considerations that you expect your trainer to make for you, considering your condition or your ailments or your deficiencies or what have you, right? So, you know, that all takes patience, that all takes skill, that all takes energy. It takes a lot of energy to be able to do the studying necessary to combat spondylolisthesis, or in essence, to be able to, you know, help somebody after a traumatic brain injury or Parkinson's training, you know, getting people a piece of their life back that they thought they weren't going to have is a different approach than being able to push people towards getting more out of their current life. So it, again, this training dynamic changes, the way you approach it changes, your tone changes, your body posture changes. And this is where the sales side of things kicks in, to kind of domino effect it, is you really got to be good at reading your audience and tailoring it, like I said, tailor-made towards that individual or towards the audience. So, you know, for me and the population that I serve, I'm much more forgiving and empathetic versus some of these general populations where I know that they can, you know, they can put out the workload or they can handle the load placed on them, and they're simply just too lazy or not structured enough in their, or organized in their personal life enough to be able to handle stressors of exercise at that point. So, you know, again, going back to that principle of being able to handle these different personalities, it requires a different personality output and energy from the trainer. There's been populations I've served at my current group fitness as well as personal training instructor job in which
you know, my energy isn't the same with each individual that walks through that door, especially depending on their ailments. You know, if I'm dealing with someone who's got a close head injury, I'm not going to be loud and super uppity and really in their face about things, because I know that they're probably having a hard time concentrating to begin with. As well as working with individuals who may suffer from severe depression or like I've seen a lot of those cases. I've had personal training sessions turn into therapy sessions. And what it comes down to, folks, most importantly, especially personal trainers out there, like if you have a hard time with this because you don't care about your clients enough, trust me, it exhausts the hell out of me to have to deal with other people's issues as well as my own. But at the end of the day, like, that's what I'm here for. That's my purpose. Like, that's what I'd love to do for people. And it's a skill, and I'm great at it. There's a lot of trainers that are, by all respects, good in their exercise administration and good in their guidelines of, you know, their outlook to training. However, their behavioral change approach lacks. And it's because they lack empathy and they lack investment into the individual. And that's what I'm talking about here, folks, is that, you know, when you're dealing with personal trainers that, especially if you're a client of a personal trainer, if you're dealing with ones that are passionate about their job, they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that you're getting the best workout possible, which is where I'm going to segue into kind of why personal training is overlooked and there's a lack of respect in the industry. So, just like any other position, people can posture up and people can fake it till they make it. And personal training is one of those industries where that happens a lot. And it happens, you know, right underneath your feet and in ways that you don't even realize, because people may have a great body or they may be able to see results off of their current training regimen. But what they don't realize is training is lifelong and it's not short term. And unless you're looking towards sport specificity, you're not going to get, you know, quality and long-term adherence as well as lifelong change if you go to the extreme. So there's, and that's just one instance in terms of trainers that kind of posture up and maybe they're showcasing their abilities in powerlifting and they think that that can apply to all individuals, and that's simply not the case. There's very limited amounts of people who can total, you know, 1,400 pounds between three different exercises. So I don't encourage that for every population. I think there's a time and place, and I think that's where specialization is key, especially if you're going to be a trainer or coach. Like, know your lane, know the population you want to serve. That being said, I myself have dabbled in so many different realms of training and modalities, and I currently am in the transition phase of trying to work with another demographic and target them because I feel like I'm best serve them. However, I am versatile and well-rounded. So there's not a lot of trainers like myself, and there's not a lot of trainers out there in general that have you know, multiple modalities that they trust in their training implementation. Most trainers will give you an exercise prescription that they've tried or that they know works for them. That is the truth. They aren't going to give you something that they know hasn't worked for them or that they haven't tried. And if they are, they're really not a good trainer. So that's just kind of the point. But you want a trainer that's kind of seen all different modes of training, right? Because ultimately, if they tell you that all they've done is bodybuilding training, why would you trust them to teach you anything else, right? So it's kind of like a doctor that they got their certification through cooking school. You know, it's just kind of like, it's that disconnect. So you want to stay in your lane. And with that is different certifications and different specialties. And that's why you have to know what demographic you're going to be serving, because there's different requirements and there's different considerations that need to be had when addressing a training program and developing that for that individual. So, in essence, like I said, this has been, you know, more or less my take on my experiences within the industry. And, you know, I tried to make this as best of a a reflection of the industry as possible in terms of what people can expect. But I don't want to be inorganic by not, you know, giving you the true-to-life experiences that I've had. So that's what I'm keeping it to for now. But I hope you gain some insight, at least client and trainer, respectively, gained insight on, you know, like trainers, like sometimes it sucks. You know what I mean? Sometimes it really, really sucks to have to deal with Betsy May, who is just constantly wanting to combat your prescriptions in exercise, or maybe she's not following her program. And then on the flip side, it's also hard for Betty May to deal with having to get up every single day, or, you know, twice a week, or whatever it takes to go and commit themselves to a higher sense of change, you know, especially when they've never done anything that serious before. So I understand both sides. And what it comes down to is empathy, folks. Empathy wins the day. If you can't be empathetic towards your trainer or towards your client, like, you're just not a good human being. That's just kind of what it comes down to. And I know that may seem harsh, but I serve a demographic and I serve an area of people that are pretty selfish. And I think that only if they had a real sense of how much care and tact that trainers in the industry like myself are putting into them, they may have more of a respect for the individuals behind it. So just going back to the main point, you guys, this is a very new industry in terms of, you know, its prevalence in the markets, because it's only been around 60 plus years, you know, this idea of like personal training and you know, kind of like group exercise instruction is even newer. So all of this is relatively new and, you know, still trying to find its way in establishment in the industry altogether. So personal training is one of those volatile positions where the market is there one day and gone the next. So, you know, be a little more conscientious clients out there of prospective trainers that you inquire about, because I am sure that, you know, there's a lot more out there like me than there aren't in terms of the bad eggs, just like any other position. But to close things out, you know, again, hopefully I was able to shed some light on some things. Maybe you learned something today. But most importantly, this needed to be said because there's a lot of misconception when, you know, people are looking towards a trainer, what to expect, what they're getting ultimately, because everyone just assumes a trainer's been to college. And then there's also the flip side of things where people assume that trainers aren't like in college at all. So there's some common things I wanted to kind of clear the air about and make known, so that everybody can coexist a bit more efficiently. But without further ado, you guys, that is the end of episode 13 today. I'm really loving the pace of the podcasts. I get busy, super busy within my job and my personal life, but I always find solace in being able to bring another edition to you each week. So today was about personal training. You know, if you guys want to hear more about my personal endeavors or more about the industry or anything else regarding personal training in general, I'd be happy to shed some more light on that. But without further ado, you guys, that is episode 13. Thank you all so much for watching, and thank you for staying and tuning in and listening in to me preach to you guys at least a few times a week. So I hope you all have a great rest of your week, and go out and tackle your dreams, and never forget, aspire to inspire.